took careful notes, and you were trying really hard to get a good grade in the class, and then for some reason, maybe you were sick or something, but you missed the day when the teacher told you what was going to be on the test. And so you weren't very well prepared for the test. Or let's say that you're going to a conference and you've been looking forward to this conference and they have a number of speakers, and yet they have a keynote speaker for the conference that you really want to hear. And so you go to the conference and you're able to participate, but just as the keynote speaker is getting up to talk, for some reason you have to leave. And you miss out on the keynote speaker for the conference. Maybe some VIP or somebody like that. And I could go on sharing scenarios with you, but I think you're starting to understand the point in all these different scenarios. You're in a situation that is frustrating and that is disappointing because you are missing some kind of important or interesting information that you really needed or wanted to hear. And the outcome is that you might lose an opportunity as a result. You might suffer some adverse consequences because you missed out on some important information, or maybe you weren't even aware that you were missing the information that you really needed, and you're going to suffer adverse consequences because of it. My point here is that getting part of a message or hearing only part of what is said can be very unsatisfactory. In fact, it can be costly, it can be consequential, it could even be dangerous to get only part of the message. And folks, that is certainly true when it comes to God's message to the human race. When it comes to God's message to the human race, getting part of the message, but not the part that you need to profit from the entire message, is not good enough. So this morning we are beginning a verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Hebrews. And as we get started here in this book, we are confronted right away with truth that God has communicated to the human race. But we're also confronted in these first few verses of this book of Hebrews of the critical importance of getting the entire message. We need the whole message, the whole truth from God. And we're going to read the first couple verses here in just a moment. But before I do, let me do just a little bit of review with you, if I could. Last week, I gave you an introductory message to Hebrews. And so this morning, I just want to remind you the two primary themes of the book of Hebrews are, first of all, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, and more specifically, the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think we could merge those two themes really into one. Okay, and so if you want just a short description of what the book of Hebrews is all about, okay, it would be something like this: the supremacy of the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that primary theme is introduced in the first four verses of chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4 are like the thesis statement of an essay. Remember when you were in school, maybe you were assigned to write an essay. And you know that an essay has to have a thesis statement. That is the main point of the whole essay. What is your point? What is your topic? What are you trying to prove? What are you trying to explain in that essay? And verses 1 through 4 lay out for us the primary point that the author intends to develop throughout the entire book of Hebrews. And that point is that Christ is the preeminent pinnacle of God's plan for the human race. And He is the primary communicator from God to the human race. He is the one whose message we dare not miss. Now, if I could just give you a clarifying point here to explain something. The title of the message today is God Has Spoken. But let me explain what I mean when I talk about God speaking today. When I talk about God speaking, I'm not just talking about verbal communication. I am talking about God's personal revelation of himself to the human race. That God has initiated communication with us. God has reached out to us to initiate even a relationship with us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, before I even get into my outline, I want to just take a moment to say that it is good news that God has spoken. Folks, that is an awesome truth. God did not just create us and then walk away from us. He did not just make us and then leave us in our fallen and sinful condition when we fell into temptation and disobeyed him. God did not wash his hands of the human race and walk away and leave us to our own destruction. No, God has spoken. He has come to us and he has reached out to us so that we could know him and so that we might be saved from our sinful condition. And so this is good news that I'm sharing with you this morning, that God has spoken. As a matter of fact, God had to do it. He had to reach out. He had to be the one to initiate this communication because we had no way of knowing and reaching him. As a matter of fact, in our lost and sinful condition, we weren't even interested in God. We had no interest in knowing God. The Bible says there is none that seeketh God after God. That's the truth about humanity. In our lost and sinful condition, we're not looking for God. He had to come looking for us. And he did. I like MacArthur's illustration of the box. MacArthur, in his commentary, talks about the fact that every man-made religion in the world represents man's effort to get out of the box of the natural and to find the supernatural. That's what a humanistic man-made religion is all about. It's somehow how I can somehow break out of the box of the natural and find the supernatural. But folks, Christianity is not about what we can do to break out of our box and find God. No, Christianity is the truth that God has broken into our box. That he came from without and he came to us in human form to find us and to bring us to himself. And my friend, if you're listening to me this morning, I just want to encourage you today. Would you allow God to break into your box? Would you allow him to speak to you today through his word? Because not only has God spoken, what I'm sharing with you today are his words to humanity. So I trust that you will listen carefully and that you allow God to speak to you today from his word. And you know what? It makes perfect sense that God would speak to us after all, doesn't it? You think about that. God did not put all the effort into creating the universe and this planet Earth that is ideally situated to support human life and then to create the human race itself and to make us in his own image so that we could know and have a relationship with our Creator. It would make no sense at all for God to put all that effort into creating this world and humanity and then not to speak to us. No, he has spoken. And guess what? He didn't wait to speak. He began speaking right after creation. And he has continued speaking to the human race. Even after the fall of man, all the way through the Lord Jesus Christ and to the present day, God has spoken. And so now with that review, let's look at the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Well, I have 4 points for you this morning. First of all, I would like us to consider the preparation for Christ to speak. The preparation for Christ to speak. Verse 1 tells us that the preparation for our Lord Jesus Christ to speak was more speaking. That God spoke in times past, it says. Okay, so the source of this speaking was God. And the era in which he spoke, as it says, is in time past. That means long ago. That means of old. And that's referring to all of human history before Jesus Christ. And then verse 1 tells us the recipients of this speaking were the fathers. That's talking about the fathers of the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. They were the stewards of God's speaking to the human race, to God's revelation. They were to steward it and to communicate it to the rest of humanity. And then the primary method of God's speaking is in this verse. It is, he spoke by the prophets. The prophets were mouthpieces, men who served as mouthpieces of God. And then also we see the times of his speaking. It says he spoke at sundry times. That means at various times, in many different periods of time, or on many different occasions. God spoke all the way, as I said, from creation to Christ. He spoke from Adam all the way to John the Baptist. But he also spoke at particular periods of time that were punctuated by silence or by less frequent speaking. Okay, so first of all, God did a lot of speaking to the human race in the garden and in the aftermath of the Garden of Eden, the fall of man into sin. Then God did a lot of speaking again before the flood in the days of Noah and immediately thereafter. And then God spoke to and through Abraham and the patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph on different occasions. And then 400 years later, God spoke through Moses. He did a lot of speaking and gave Moses the first 5 books of the Bible, as well as probably the book of Job. And then God spoke through a line of prophets in Israel, including Joshua and the Judges and Samuel and David and Solomon and many other prophets, all the way to Isaiah and to Jeremiah. And then God spoke also in the captivity through the prophets Ezekiel and Daniel. And then after the captivity, the 70 years in captivity, when Israel was restored again to their land, God began speaking of the restoration of Israel through the prophets Zechariah and Haggai and Malachi. And then after 400 silent years, God spoke again through the prophet John the Baptist. And folks, all of those prophets and all of that speaking was meant to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. So those were the times. Now let's consider the manner of his speaking. Would you look again at verse number 1? He spoke in diverse manners. That means he spoke in many and various ways as well. God spoke to the human race by walking and talking with people in human form, as he did with Enoch and Adam and Noah and Abraham. He spoke through dreams and visions. He spoke by miracles and signs and manifestations of his glory. He spoke by speaking audibly and directly to people. As a matter of fact, he even spoke face to face with Moses on Mount Sinai. On one occasion, God spoke to a disobedient prophet through a donkey. God spoke through appearances of the angel of the Lord or through other angelic messengers like Gabriel. God spoke through prophets at the Spirit's direction or even at his dictation. God spoke by giving dreams and visions to heathen kings and then sending his prophets to interpret those visions. And God spoke by moving holy men to write poetry and prose. And folks, the result of all this speaking in time past was the 39 books of the Old Testament Scriptures that were given by inspiration. And folks, all of that speaking was good because it all came from God. As a matter of fact, it was all important. It was all needed. But folks, it was not complete. It was not all of what God had to say to the human race. The Old Testament is a book of types, shadows and temporary measures pointing to Jesus Christ, who is the subject of all those things in the Old Testament. He is the primary topic of the Old Testament scriptures. All the speaking that came before Christ was not the main message. It was the lead-in. It was not the keynote address. It was the opener. The purpose of it all was to point us to Christ and to prepare for His coming, to prepare the human race to receive Him. And so that brings me now to my second point. We understand the preparation for Christ to speak. Let's consider the period in which Christ has spoken. The period in which Christ has spoken. We see that in verse number 2, the beginning of the verse. In time past, God spoke in many times, in many different ways, through the prophets, to the Jewish fathers. But in verse 2, He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So the time period in which Christ has spoken is identified there as in these last days. And I believe that that is talking about the entire age from the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the present and beyond to the new heaven and the new earth. So it includes primarily the church age that we are living in as well as the millennial kingdom to the end of history in this present creation. Now, I want to explain that there is a similar phrase that is used elsewhere in the New Testament, a phrase, the last days, with a definite article there. The last days is a phrase in the context where it usually refers to the last part of the church age right before the rapture. Okay, but this is a different expression. So if I was going to be very literal here in how I would describe this phrase, you could say that He has spoken upon these last of the days. Upon these last of the days. And I believe that that expression is basically equivalent to another one that we find in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 26, where it says, talking about the suffering of Christ, it says, now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. So in the end of the world literally says up upon the completion of the ages. Okay? And so what that means is that Christ, His sacrifice upon the cross, that happened at the beginning of the final period of human history. And I think that that is the period that is being described here in verse number 2 as well, where it says, He spoke in these last of the days. Let me just unpack that for you if I could a little bit, okay? The word in is a Greek preposition that literally means upon or up against something or at it, okay? And so what that tells us is that this happened, this speaking through the Son began at the beginning of this age that is all about Christ. Okay, then the word last. The word last there tells us that this is the final culminating period of human history. In other words, folks, God saved the best for last. And then the word these, tells us that these were the days in which the writer of Hebrews was writing this epistle. These were the days in which the recipients were reading his letter. These are the days in which you and I are living as well. And you know what that means? That means that we here today are both privileged and responsible to hear God's Son. I mean, if you had the opportunity to go and hear somebody speak, you know, who would you choose? Maybe some of you would choose some politician or candidate for office or some celebrity or some famous person. But folks, we are privileged to hear the voice of the Son of God. This is the time in which we live. The good news is we are living at the best possible time in human history to hear God's voice. We are living during the keynote address. We're not living in those times past of the openers. No, we're living in the age of the main speaker. We have been given the final and the fullest revelation of God's Son to the human race. We can read about Him and learn about His life and His teaching in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can see His virtues on display, and we can see His love on display for us upon the cross of Calvary. We know the full story of His death, His burial, and His resurrection from the dead that we will celebrate in a special way in 2 weeks from today. We can read His completed written word. We have all 66 books of His love letter to the human race. And we can receive the revelation of His Holy Spirit living within us. We can have a personal relationship with Him. We can walk with Him and talk with Him every single day. So that is the good news. The good news is we're living in the best time period ever in human history. Because God, in these last of the days, has spoken to us by His Son. But the other side of that truth is, the sobering side of the truth is, that we are accountable for what God has said. We are accountable for what Christ has said to us, what He has revealed to us, what He has spoken to us, and we are accountable for what we do with what He has done for us. Because nobody in the history of the human race has had more access to the light and to the truth of God and His Word and His revelation. Nobody has had more of it than people who are living in these last days. So, my friend, I hope you're listening well. Because God has spoken to us by His Son. And that's good news and sobering news as well. Now, third, I'd like you to consider with me this morning the preeminence of Christ the Speaker. The preeminence of Christ the Speaker. Who is this Son through whom God has spoken? Well, the writer of Hebrews wants us to know who He is. And that answer to that question is the subject of verses 2 through 4. But for this morning, I can't cover it all. This morning, I just want us to focus on two identifying truths of the Son in verse number 2. We'll have to look at the rest of them the next time. All right, and I'm going to go in reverse order, just because I that's the way I wanted to do it. Okay? First of all, who is this Son? He is the one through whom God made the worlds. He is the one through whom God made the worlds. Look again at verse 2. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, by this Son, also He made the worlds. The worlds there is an expression that refers to this entire universe and everything that it contains. And that description there speaks of the Son as the primary agent of the creation. He is the agent of creation. So we know from our study of theology that whatever God does, the three persons of the Godhead, they always do it together, okay? Because they are one God. And oftentimes what they do when they do together, they're all present, they're all involved, they may be involved in different aspects and have different ministries of that work that they are doing. But folks, when God said, "Let there be light," that was the voice of the Son speaking, the S-O-N Son. He is the Word of God, who was in the beginning with God, and who is God, and who made all things. Would you look at these verses on the screen here from John chapter number 1, The first four verses says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." So who is this Word? Well, the Word's identity, first of all, we can see that He is a person because masculine pronouns are used throughout this passage. The Word is a He, not an it. Secondly, He is a distinct person because verse 1 says that He was with God. So there is a distinction there, like God and the Word together, two people, side by side. So He is a distinct person, but He is also a divine person. Because it says the Word was God. That tells us that there is an equality as well in a unity, that He is the one of the three persons of the divine Trinity. He is in fact the same person as the Son described here in our text in Hebrews 1 and 2. But would you consider also from this passage in John the Word's activity, that He existed before creation? Because it says that He was in the beginning, not that He became in the beginning. He existed before creation. He was also present at creation because it says He was there in the beginning. Third, He was the active agent of creation because it says that He made all things. He made everything without exception. He was both the designer and the builder of everything that exists. And finally, that He gave life to His creation. Because verse 4 tells us that in Him was life. This Word, this Son, is the source of all life, both physical and spiritual. Okay, so the first reason that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word, the first reason that He is preeminent, that He is supreme above all others, is because He is not created. He is the Creator. He is God. And therefore, He is superior to all of His creation. Now, secondly, in verse 2, we also learn that this Son is the one God has appointed heir of all things. He is the one that God has appointed heir of all things. It's amazing to think that before the worlds were spoken into existence, God made a will, so to speak. He made a will, and He named His Son, which makes sense, doesn't it? That you would name your son as your heir. That God named His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as His heir. And He determined that His inheritance, as it says in a single word, would be all things. That means everything without exception. The book of Colossians, Chapter 1 says, "For by Him, that is Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers," referring there to different hierarchies of angelic beings. It says, "All things were created by Him." There's the first truth, that He created it all. But secondly, all things were created for Him. And looking forward, from eternity past and from creation all the way into eternity future, the Bible tells us that there is coming a day when the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come into His inheritance and all things will be brought under His full authority and His full headship. Ephesians chapter 1 describes that time. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He, that is God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Folks, that verse describes the unity of the entire creation under His will, fully submitted to His purposes. That will take place one day in the future when the Lord Jesus comes into His full inheritance. And guess what will happen as well at that time? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into His full inheritance and He takes full possession of all things, the Bible says that we as believers, as saints of God, as redeemed saints inhabiting the new heaven and earth, that we will be joint heirs with Him. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 21, the Lord Jesus said, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So there's coming a day when those that know Christ will rule and reign with Christ. And in fact, they will own everything that He owns. Now, I don't know about you, but that should be... Is that blowing a few little brain circuits in your mind right now? It should be. It should be. That we would be joint heirs with Christ. It's incomprehensible. But that is the inheritance that God, through Christ, has willed to His children. Those that come to Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior. So in summary here this morning of this third point, the preeminence of Christ the Speaker. Who is this Son? He's the Son that made it all, including you, my friend. He made you. He's the one who's putting breath into your body right now, the one who's making your heart to beat, the one who's given you the privilege of walking around on His green earth and to breathe His fresh air and to enjoy the life that He made for the human race. He's the Son that made it all. But not only that, He's the Son who owns it all, because it was all made by Him and for Him. And one day, He is the Son in the future. He will take possession of it all. And so who is this Son? He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning of it all. And He is the ending of it all. And as we get into it next time, in the next few verses, He's also everything in between. He is preeminent, the supreme Son of God. But I have one more point that I want to share today as I close. Because we have to get into this just a little bit, okay? Well, I might have had that in the wrong place. No, I just left out the point, I guess. Okay. Point number four is the purpose for which Christ has spoken. The purpose for which Christ has spoken. Why did God send His Son to reveal Himself to lost, sinful humanity? Why did God break into our box? I want to draw your attention to just one phrase in verse number 3. When He had by Himself purged our sins. So the purpose was to by Himself purge our sins. The word purge means to cleanse or to wash away. So Christ's purpose for coming, for speaking, for revealing the Father, for being a real flesh and blood human being walking around on planet Earth just like us, for going to an old rugged cross, for dying, for rising again from the dead, the purpose of Christ was to make it possible for dirty sinners to be made clean. For people like you and me who had sinned, who were not looking for God, who had gone away from God, who were disobedient to God, who were rebelling against God, who wanted nothing to do with God. For those undeserving, dirty sinners to have their sins washed away and to be made fit to live with Him forever in His glorious new creation, where there will be no sin, because all things will be fully submitted to His headship. And that great work of salvation that the Son of God accomplished for us upon the cross of Calvary is the subject of most of this book of Hebrews. His redemptive work given to Him by the Father that He fully accomplished was to be our great high priest and to offer up Himself as the once and for all sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the human race, and to bring all the Old Testament types and all the Old Testament shadows and all the Old Testament sacrifices to an end by fulfilling them all. And that is what He has done. And as it says here, He did it by Himself. My friend, there is no other way to have your sins forgiven. There is no other person who can help you with that problem. You cannot help yourself with that problem. You cannot help God help you wash away your sins. It is all done by Himself. And that's why it is so important that we pay attention to what He has said. Because, my friend, if you miss Christ, you will miss heaven. And so if you're going to listen to anybody, it had better be Christ. If you're going to hear the voice of anybody in this world, it better be the Son of God. If you're going to tune in to any keynote speaker, it better be the Lord Jesus, because He is our one and only sufficient Savior. He is the one through whom God has spoken. There is no other one. And so, as we consider this morning, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way to God but Him. There is no other truth in this world besides or separate or apart from Him. There is no other life to be had except for the life that is from Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, as Jesus said, but by Me. He by Himself purged our sins. God has spoken. And He is still speaking today through His Son, because the Spirit and the Word of His Son are still active in this world today. But the question is, are you paying attention to Him? Are you paying attention to the voice of the Son of God? Are you receiving His Word? Are you receiving His message to you? My friend, I'm asking you today, first of all, have you believed the gospel, that good news message of eternal life? The gospel is that Christ died for our sins, that we were the sinners who deserved to die, and yet Christ, in His love for us, died in our place. God put all of our sins upon His Son, and He paid the price in full. The price of our sins and our salvation was His shed blood upon the cross. The good news message of the gospel is, not only did He die for our sins, not only was He buried according to the Scriptures, but He rose again the third day as well, according to the Scriptures. And He was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. He is not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. And He's ready, willing, and able to save those who will come to God by Him, because He ever makes intercession for them. We'll get to that verse in Hebrews later on. My friend, I want you to understand something. The Lord Jesus Christ is inviting you to come to Him today. Look at what He said here in the gospel in John chapter 5. Whoops, let me go back to John 5. I already had it up there. John 5, verse 39 says, the Lord Jesus here, by the way, was speaking to some unbelieving Jews. These were people that did not believe in Him, people that needed to believe in Him. And this is what He said to them. He said, "Search the Scriptures, Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He said, if you'll just look into your Bible, if you'll just read the Old Testament, the whole purpose of it was to testify of me, that I am the fulfillment of it. I am what the Old Testament was talking about. The Old Testament points to me. I am in the Old Testament from Genesis all the way to Malachi. The same thing is true today, except we have two testaments, old and new. Jesus is in it all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's all about Him. It's all His message to us. It's all about His gospel of His death, burial, and resurrection, that we as lost, undeserving, hell-bound sinners have a totally sufficient Savior. But look at what He said. He said, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. My friend, it's not enough to read the Bible. It's not enough to know what the Bible says. It's not enough to study the Bible. There are people that study a Bible for a lifetime and will go to hell because they never believed the message of the Bible. They never really heard it in their hearts. It's not enough to know the Word. These people that He was talking to, they knew their Bibles. They had memorized large parts of their Bibles, and yet they were not coming to Him. And that's what you have to do, my friend. If you want to be saved, if you want to have eternal life, you must come to the Son. And that talks about faith. That is a description of faith. To say, I am coming to you, Lord, because I need to be saved. I am that guilty sinner that needs cleansing, that needs my sins purged away. And I am going to come to you because I believe in you, because I'm coming to you, because you're the one who can meet my eternal need. So the question is, will you respond to His invitation to come to Him? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I said in the beginning of the service today, the paradox, the truth that is a seeming contradiction is that the way to find true freedom is to submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you'll come to Him, He'll take away that old heavy burden of sin that you've been carrying around all your life. He'll wash away all the dirt and all the filth of your sin. He'll take away the guilt. He'll take away all the oppression that comes with sin. And in His place, He'll give you a light yoke. You know why it's so light? Because He'll help you carry it. Because He's a loving, kind, and good master to His children. But you got to come to Him. It's not enough to hear. My friend, if God is speaking to your heart this morning that you need to be saved, don't walk out of this church unsaved today. Don't just hear it. You're accountable for the truth that God has spoken. You're accountable. One day you'll give an account to God for the opportunity that you had today to be saved. So come today. Come today. Open your heart to Christ today. Believe in Him today. Confess to Him that you are that guilty sinner that needs saving. Trust in Him to be your one and only Savior. Turn away from your love of sin in your heart. Turn away from your self-sufficiency that somehow you think you can be good enough without Jesus in your life. Turn away from all of that and just come to Him. And He'll save you. So are you listening? Have you believed His gospel? That's the first question. And then there's another one I got to ask you today. And this is for those who know the Lord, okay? Those who have received Him as Savior. Are you paying attention to the voice of the Son? And the application is, are you loving and obeying God's Word? Because as I said earlier, we have never lived in a time when we had more of God's Word than we have right now. We have never lived in a time when there was more access to the light and truth of God The truth of the matter is, most people here probably own more than one Bible. You probably have Bibles in your home or Bibles different places. You might have one in your car. You might have one that you keep here at church. You have different Bibles. And if you don't own Bibles, you could very easily own one because they're very easy to get. We have all kinds of Bibles. We have all kinds of study materials. We have all kinds of commentaries. We have all kinds of material and resources and teachers and preachers. And we can tune in and we can hear it online and we can download it and we can get the podcast and we can read the book and we can do all of this stuff and we have all this light and we have all this truth. And what are we doing with it all? And I'm afraid to say that although we live in a time where we have tremendous access to the light and the truth of God's Word, we also live in a day when people have little interest in hearing the voice of the Son. And they don't read His Word. And they don't study their Bibles. And they're not faithful at church. And they don't take advantage of the resources. And they don't spend time digging into God's Word. Because I got too many other things to do. Too much fun to have. Too many places to go. People to meet. I'm busy. I hear it all the time. I'm really busy, Pastor. That's why I don't come to church. I'm really, really busy. And one day you'll stand before the Lord. Give an account of your busyness. It's a sobering truth. We've been given all that God has for us in this dispensation of grace, this dispensation of the Son of God. What did Job say? Job said in 23 and verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I've esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." How many books of the Bible did Job have to read? Probably zero. Probably Job lived before any of the books of Moses were written. So the only words that he had from God were the ones that God gave directly to him. And oh, he treasured them. He said, "I love God's Word. It's more important to me than eating a meal. I love the words of His mouth, and therefore I have not gone back from the commandment of His lips. I love His Word and I obey it." And folks, that should be our same attitude and our same response. If we name the name of Jesus Christ, if we say that we are children of the Son, and if we truly understand who the Son is and what He has said to us. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Just a moment, the piano's going to play some verses of invitation. The invitation number is going to be 550, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. He's calling today. Jesus said, "Whosoever will may take of the water of life freely." It's there for the taking, my friend. If you want it, if you think you're thirsty, you say, "I need Jesus," just come take His water of life. And if you take His water of life, He will come in to live within you. He'll fill you up with His living water. Wash away your sin. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, who would say today with an upraised hand, "Praise God, I'm a child of the Son. I've received Him as my Savior." If that's your testimony, slip up your hand, please. Wherever you are today, just give a testimony of that fact. "I've been born again by believing in the Son. I've heard His voice, and there was a time." Yes, thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, who would say today, "Pastor, that's my need. I need to be saved. God is speaking in my heart today that I need to receive. I need to come to Jesus. I need to take a step of faith to Him. I'm the one who needs to be saved today, and I don't care if there's anybody else in this room that needs to be saved. I need to come to Jesus today." My friend, would you share that with me? Who would say that with an upraised hand? No one's looking but me. But who would say that with an upraised hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. Would you be willing to share it with me? "That's me, Pastor. I need to be saved." Now, whether you raised a hand or not, Let me just tell you right now what you can do. Okay, right now, in this moment, in your seat, right there, in your heart, you can cry out to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to be your Savior. If you'll have that heart-to-heart with Him, He'll hear you. He'll save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can have that one-on-one with Him right now. If you're not sure today that you're saved, you can speak to me after the service. I'll be at those back center doors. Just say, Pastor, can we talk for a minute? I'll be glad to come aside and chat with you for a minute. Show you from the Bible how to be saved. Now, Christian, what are you doing with the voice of the Son and the words that He has spoken? You being faithful to what you've been given? To whom much is given, much shall be required. Maybe today you just need to admit to the Lord that you've really been neglecting His word. You haven't been faithful to really take His word seriously in your life. It's just kind of a little appendage, a little add-on, a little extra that you've tacked on to your own personal agenda. Will you be like Job? Esteem the words of His mouth more than your necessary food, and therefore obey His commandments. Who would say today as a Christian, God spoke to my heart about hearing the voice of God's Son? Who would say that with an upraised hand today? No one's looking around but me. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are others who would say that with an upraised hand. Yes, praise God. There's some others today. Say, God's speaking to my heart today. I need to pay attention to the voice of God's Son. I'll wait just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd work in this time of invitation. Lord, this is a very important subject we've been talking about today. We just want to thank You so much, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess He is preeminent God, creator and owner of everything. As Your children, we submit ourselves to You, and we pray that You would help any person here today who's not yet saved today to receive Christ. I didn't see every hand go up. I don't know where people stand with You, Father, but I'm praying that You would draw people to Yourself. And I pray that You would help people to take that step to come to Jesus. And I pray for those of Your children who slipped up a hand. Lord, help us all to pay attention to Your Word, to love it, to live in it daily, and to walk in its truth. Would You do the things in this invitation time that need to be done in our hearts and lives? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.